you and good morning. It is a beautiful day, and this is a day that the Lord hath made, and we ought to rejoice and
be glad.
Yes, isn't that marvelous? No snow, no ice. Amen. It's coming. Just brace yourselves. It's coming. It's a joy to be back, and I have been blessed by your spirit, and I am just overwhelmed by the marvelous news that Gleam is taking on a new era. We praise the Lord with you and are so thankful for what God has done, and appreciate your pastor and this church and its testimony, and we are so very, very grateful that you allowed us to come back. I speak in a lot of places, but once I speak, I don't always get invited back. So thank you. Thank you very, very much for allowing me to do that. We will do our best to share God's word and allow the Spirit to minister within each of our hearts. I'm not really sure how each of us can evaluate how much we depend upon God. Have you done that kind of an evaluation? Well, there are a lot of things we depend upon. If you're old like me, you depend upon the Social Security and the doctors. If you're one who is employed, and some now doubly employed, praise the Lord, there's a dependency upon that paycheck coming. And we get into a mindset where we are very, very comfortable with how everything is. And as we do that, sometimes we are not giving the Lord the credit he deserves, and there really isn't much of a dependency upon him. And that's what I really want to raise the question mark with all of us today, including myself. How much do I depend upon the Lord? Now, there can be some things that can interfere with that dependency. Even D.L. Moody confessed, "You know, of all the men I've known," he said, "I've had more trouble with myself than with any other man." How true that is. In all of our lives, as we go day by day, hour by hour, the one that is causing most of the difficulty is me. And my wife reminds me of that all the time. It's that kind of a thing where we're having some problems, and it's causing a difficulty and almost an offset in my relationship with God. Part of the trouble begins when we lose our daily awareness and our daily need and our daily dependency for God. And that can be something that just is very gradual. But as we get into our routines, as we get into our lifestyles, sometimes God isn't where he needs to be in our lives. And I invite you, if you would, to go back to the scripture reading that we were in Deuteronomy, because point number one, how we can lose that sense of dependency upon our God is described right here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Marvelous chapter. The people of God's people have been blessed, and there's instruction being given to how they ought to respond to his word and in their lives. And we come to this, whatever you would want to say, a definite caution that is mentioned. Beginning with verse 11, it says, beware. By the way, whenever it says beware, that is definitely a word to take note of. Have you ever gone visiting and there was a sign out in the front gate, beware of? Boy, if you don't take care to beware of, you're in trouble. Beware of that Doberman. Beware of that short-legged boxer. Beware of whatever it says. It sometimes says beware of children. They bite too, you know. There are these cautions that are put out. And God uses that term here for us to be very, very alerted to. Beware of. That's a word for us to be alerted to. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. He says, be very, very cautious, because you can start to push God out of the picture. Hey, I'm born again. I'm washed under the blood. Thank you, God. I'll take it from here. And some Christians do. And they have some very serious problems and tragedies that develop because they're not being submissive. They're not going to the precious word. They're not understanding their God as they ought to do. And so it comes to that caution, beware, that thou not forget the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. This that I have given to you, beware of. You be very much in focus, because this is something that can take place. And he says, lest, beware of, but if you're not going to be that much aware, if you're not going to be alerted, if you're not going to be cautious, if you're going to not be very much into his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, if you're not going to do that, this is probably what is going to happen. And he says in verse 12, lest when thou hast eaten and are what? Full. Now, how many of you are Baptists? Some of you are uncommitted and aren't. Pastor, you have to work on them. But most of us who are Baptists very much realize what he's saying there. When thou hast eaten and are full. Don't you just enjoy those meals, whether they're over here at the bread and what's the bread? Bread and hand? Bird and hand. I like the bread better. Doesn't matter where you're at, when you eat, you enjoy it. And there's a sense of contentment. And you get to that point where most of us, although we have loved to continue in that activity, we arrive at the point where we are full. Have any of you ever experienced that marvelous sensation? When we eat and are full. When you arrive at that point, as the Lord would allow it in designing the body, you get to that point where even though it has been so pleasurable and enjoyable, you cannot, even though you know if you took another bite, you would then reverse it all and you would probably lose it all. It's that point where, wow. And you can say with all honesty, I'm fed up. You have gotten to that point. When we get to those points and we are so content, that's when Scripture says things can overtake us. When everything's in place, when we are so comfortable, then he says here, we've got a problem. Because when you have eaten and are full and hast built good houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds have multiplied and thy flock multiplied and thy silver and thy gold has multiplied, and that thou hast is multiplied. When everything is increased, when we have things that many people don't even ever dream of having and we have it, when we've attained some kind of a measure of success, whether it's a horse in the backyard or a car in the garage or, for most Americans, and a lazy boy in the living room. That's success. And we get to that point where, wow, we have it. And we get into a lifestyle. We get into a mental thinking that I've got it all. And there is a tendency when all of that comes into perspective that then the danger is, in verse 14, he says, then thine heart, it's the heart that has the problem, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it goes on as we were reading, and all of the displeasures and terrible things God brought them out of. You forget that. You know, we who are in the New Testament, we have the same capacity to forget what God has saved us from. How many times do you dwell on the thought of hell? How many times in a day or even in a week do we give room to thinking about that place called hell? And so many are destined to go there. And if it isn't for our compassion and our drive to share in a compassionate way the Word of God, they're going to hell. I'm convinced that we who are born again, we who possess the marvelous word, the gospel that Jesus saves, I'm convinced that we have become very comfortable in this day and age. And we don't think about hell that much. And we're not all that consumed with reaching out to those that are lost. And sometimes we ourselves are just so much into our comfortable zone, we are not at all thinking about God as we ought to. How much do you depend upon God? How much in a day do you actually refer to God in His direction and His help? And so here's the caution. Well, that well being noted, we can understand that in Romans chapter 7 and verse 15, it says, "For that which I do allow not, for what I would that I do not, but what I hate that do I." Paul is saying the things that I should never, ever, ever be doing in the flesh, in the flesh, he finds himself very much active in that. And the things that I should be doing, the things that the Word of God is prescribing, the commands that God has given to us to follow obediently, he says, those are the things that I find myself not doing. It's the struggle that goes on in the spiritual and the flesh. And many, many times we get into such a state that we are losing our perspective. And so here is this struggle that is going on as we go from moment to moment and day by day. If you turn over to Proverbs, Proverbs is a tremendous book of instruction for the youth. But let me tell you, we who are senior saints can take a lot from it as well. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8. It declares, remove far from me. Don't just take them away, but remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient. Isn't that interesting? Even back then, and there weren't McDonald's and Burger King, but the idea is something that's just very average. I don't have to have that fancy stuff. Feed me with the food that is convenient for me, lest I be full. That same scenario that we were cautioned of in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Lest I be full, he says, and deny thee. That forgetting comes to a denying. And so the instruction is, be very, very careful lest you deny the Lord and say, who is the Lord? Or, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. That is something that even in Proverbs is something you would not want to pursue. It's this idea where we get into a place, whether we're so rich or so poor, we're turning from a dependency upon God. When everything is average, when everything is it ought to be, sometimes we get into that comfort zone and it distorts what really needs to be. It doesn't matter where I am, doesn't matter who I am. I need to be very cautious about becoming too consumed with things. My dear wife, for many years, had diabetic shoes, and they were huge. They were the special kind that had to be molded for her feet, and to keep her feet from getting sores and protecting them. And she just tried to cover them up as best she could, but as the Lord would have it, and with her illnesses and all, it got to the point where she lost her one leg and foot. And when she got her prosthetic, they said she could start wearing normal shoes again, which set me back a bit, because then I knew we were going shoe shopping a lot. And we have. She doesn't go to stores a whole lot still, but she has discovered this thing that you can type into a computer and you can go shopping. And she says, honey, for the first time in a long time in my life, I can purchase shoes. And so she has this kind of a shoe and that kind of a shoe and that kind, and then you have to have different colored for this, and then you have some with bows on them and some without bows. And I came to the conclusion, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. But we can get, can we not, to that point where we're just, wow, this is, and we forget all about God's place, God's perspective in our daily living. Well, that being said, let's go to point two, and that is something to be cautious about. That's something to be alerted about, beware of, because it can happen to any born-again saint of God. We can get to that point, we're so wrapped up in whatever we're doing. Oh, we can even come to church. But in our daily living, there's very little dependency and referral to a holy God. Well, let's turn, first of all, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 kind of helps us in this idea that it doesn't have to be that way. And there are some things that God declares that we can indeed be very much aware of. In Galatians chapter 5, I draw your attention to verse 16. Because it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. We who are born again, we who have accepted Christ as our Savior, we who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as we take God's Word and we use it for our light, our lamp, and our daily walk with every step in our life. If we're walking in the Spirit, then we will not have to have that struggle in the flesh. It's a choice. It's something that needs to be. If we're going to have victory, if we're going to stay focused, if we're not going to get to that point where God doesn't have so much control in my life, I'm not depending upon Him, I've got to walk in the Spirit. That's what He's declaring there. And then He goes on and says in verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." There's a struggle going on. There's a battle going on. In fact, that's what Paul was referring to. The things that I should do, I don't. Things that I should never do, I do. There's this struggle that's going on. And he says, "For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary." They can never be one. It is either one or the other. They're contrary, the one to the other. "So that ye cannot do the things that ye would." But, in verse 18, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." That sounds good to me. In fact, that is beginning to give me the answer that I not fall into that trap of the flesh that's referred to in Deuteronomy. It makes sense that ought to be my philosophy. That ought to be my biblical focus. Go with me to Romans chapter 7, verse 25 tells us something very much the same, and it enhances this. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 25, it says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind," you see that? "With the mind, I myself serve the law of God." With the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of what? Sin. It is this battle that's going on, and if we are not dependent upon God, if we're not totally given to God as we ought to direct our every step, to take a confidence in that He is with me as I go through each day. If I'm not doing that, then I'm really clearing the way to be walking in sin, in rebellion, in disobedience. It's just that clear. And He makes that very much something that we ought to be careful of. Well, let me just share with you 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Don't have to turn there, but it says very much the same thing. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will never conquer the flesh with while fighting in the flesh. We will never conquer while we're fighting in the flesh. We must walk in the Spirit. Some of us get into some very ticklish situations. Some of us may stumble into some very heavy problems. And if we're trusting in trying to fix them ourselves, we're in for a real disappointment. We must take the focus and place it upon God and His spiritual instruction for each of us in our day. I mean, that's just something that has to be. Now, knowing there can be that tendency to become complacent, kind of non-involved, oh, I'll show up in church, but when it comes to those other days of being by myself, in my home, around others that I work with, it's a different story. That's a problem. And if we are not going to seek out the spiritual pathway through God's Word, we're going to have some real trouble. I'd like to thirdly share this with you. And you can mark these down. And as it is helpful, make reference to that if the Holy Spirit strikes your heart with something that needs to change, then so be it. But mark these down if you would. These are things that can help you check your life. Am I getting too full? And am I getting too comfortable? Am I getting to that point where I'm not so much focused on God? I'm almost beginning to forget Him. I'm in trouble. First of all, when my delight and focus in the Lord, when my delight and focus in the Lord is no longer as great as the delight I have for somebody else or something else, I'm in trouble. When I have more of a enjoyment, when I have more of a marvelous, receptive openness to someone else or something else, more than I do to my precious Lord, I'm in trouble. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew, and we're going to be here for a couple of points. But I want you to realize, if we have more an attraction, if we're more infatuated, if we are giving far more attention to someone else or something else than we are to our God, we are definitely in trouble. I've got a problem. And if you, did I say Matthew? Disregard that. Go to the next gospel, which is Mark. Thank you. Mark chapter 12. And Mark chapter 12 tells us a number of things here, and we'll hit several of them as we're checking ourselves for our mind and our heart and our life. And are we in danger of not being so dependent upon our God? Mark chapter 12, verse 30, if you would, verse 30. And it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with," what does it say? "All thy heart." Not just a part of it, but we are to love our God with all thy heart. That is not by chance something that when you're in the mood, you ought to be loving your God with all your heart. That isn't something when you get in trouble and difficulties are just piling up that I need to love the Lord thy God. It means that on every day of our life, we need to be very much mindful and aware of there is this position that God ought to have as priority in my life. No matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm walking through, no matter what is yet to come, I've got to understand I need to love my God with all my heart. And when other individuals or other things begin to take away from that primary focus, I've got a problem. And I am violating the instruction of God, the command here, that I ought to love my God with all my heart. That begins the challenge as I go day by day, as I go from one thing to another. Secondly, as another thing to check in my life, when my soul doesn't or does not long for time in studying God's word and in prayer, if I just am not enjoying and wanting more fellowship with my God, I'm in trouble. Well, you see, I have so much to do. And there are so many demands and requirements on my life. Well, then let's go look back at Mark 12 and verse 30 again and see what it says as we read on. Because it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." And then he says, "And with all thy soul." So there is not an excuse that can stand up when it comes, how much time have you spent in God's word in a day? You know, most are very infatuated with publications. They have to read the newspaper. They have to look on the internet. They have to listen to the television, ABC, CBS, NBC, all of those. And in what they present, I have to. And we spend much time, even on radio, listening, and very little input from God's word. Oh, wait a minute. I took the daily bread and I read it. And I said a prayer afterwards, and then I went on. I don't believe that's exactly what he intends for us to be satisfied. That's a great start. But that's not what he's intending when he says, and we need to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul. Spending time in prayer throughout the day. Spending time fellowshipping with God and understanding more and more of his heart through his word. If we're not doing that, we're in trouble. Thirdly, when my thoughts during leisure times, leisure moments, when my thinking does not reflect upon the Lord, when I have no spiritual concepts, when I'm doing some things and I'm not reminded again of how our God and how great they are. He is a great God, and he has done so much. It's very much in challenge again here, Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, and he says again, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And then he says, with all thy what? Mind. You're to be loving your God with all of your mind. That is, you're to be using it and channeling it and focusing upon God and his principles and his precepts and his instructions and his commands. And your mind needs to be centered on him. And yet there are so many distractions that can be very destructive because we are drawn to other things. And pretty much the thought of God dissipates, and it's not where it should be. Fourthly, when I easily give in to those things which I know displease the Lord, I've got trouble. There's no question about it. Doing things I know God would not be pleased with, and it can be whatever is a violation, whatever is a rebellion from God's word, but whatever that thing or activity is, when I'm easily persuaded, when I'm easily drawn, we go back to that same verse in Mark 12:30, and watch what it says. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. I'm beginning to see this is very important in my daily step by step, breath by breath, walk with God. And he concludes that by saying, this is the first commandment. This is something that God anticipates for those of us who have come to that point of realizing we are a sinner, condemned, on our way to hell, and God has provided this marvelous gift of eternal life by trusting in him and seeking his forgiveness. And as we do that, he then wants us to walk in a spiritual direction and with this understanding that all of this, my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, needs to be focused upon God more than anything else in the world, upon God. And if I do that, then I am being aware. I am being cautious. I am preventing that where I am not so intense in what I believe and what I practice in my life. Nextly, let me just mention this, and then we'll have to close. When I do not willingly and cheerfully give to God and to God's work and the needs of others, I'm in trouble. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 says, "But whosoever hath this, hate this world and its goods, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" There are a lot of people that will very much say one thing with their words, with their mouth, with their lips, with the tongue. But when it comes to actions of compassion, they simply turn their backs. They shutteth up their bowels. There's no emotions whatsoever. I'm in trouble. I'm in serious trouble when that happens, because he is telling us that we need to be very much just the opposite. Well, a number of other things that I wish we had time, but it's gone. May I just mention, when I fail to make Christ or his word known to others because I fear what they will say or do, I'm in trouble. Because there is very much an instruction. If we are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. Well, you see the needs that are here. You have the cautions and the bewares. There is, in fact, a necessity for us to be daily, not just on Sunday, but daily, very much aware of what God expects of those that follow him. God expects those of us that have reached out and sought that forgiveness by his Son to be walking a righteous walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. He expects us to depend upon him for everything in our lives. He anticipates us coming to him for the instruction, for the help, for the strength, for the wisdom, for the discernment in everything we have to go through. A dependency upon God. But yet, in the world that you and I live in, there are so many other things that we think of as self-helps. If you don't know the answer, you go to Google. And we leave out the most marvelous access ever given to man. The access to a holy, righteous God, who, by the way, expects us to be holy because he is holy. How much are you really depending upon God? Oh, I know you have all these things coming into the bank account, and you have this to do and that to do. How much dependency do you have in God? He cautioned Israel. He cautions you and me. We dare not ignore those warnings. Father, we thank you for